It is an awesome day. How many of you are excited to be here today? Is anyone as excited to be here as I am? Because I'm super excited. Today I get to do the most awesome thing. We get to open God's word and read and learn what God has for us. And there's nothing that gets me more excited to do than that. It's what I love to do. And so this morning we are going to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. By the way, church is a great place to bring your Bible, just FYI, just putting that out there. It's a really cool place. So you can pull out your Bibles or Bible apps. If you got one of the digital newfangled things, you can pull it out and open up your Bible app to Luke chapter 11. We're going to get there in just a second. And today is a scripture that I love. Today, I love all of God's word, but today is a scripture that I love, especially as we are in the Christmas season. And many of us, maybe you've seen this, but there's a map that's available today that will tell you where all of the lights are in Simi Valley. Have you guys seen this map? It lets you drive around to all the houses. It's on Facebook. Well, I'll send it to you, Sarah, if you don't have it. But it's cool. I mean, it shows you where all the great houses are. I'll send it to you, too. We'll post it on our Facebook. All right. But it's great because we love to go around and see these bright and shining lights in the night. It's one of those fun traditions that many of us like to do. And light is what we're going to talk about today. The title of my message is, You Are the Light. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, You are the light. And today, Jesus' call to us is like a battle cry. It's like, it's something that he's calling us out to be light in a dark world. Now, we might not be on the map that I'm going to send you out on our Facebook page that tells you where people to drive to. But my hope and my prayer is that our lives would be like those homes listed on that map. That people in our community, though they might not have a map, they would drive by our lives and they'd see a light, a shining light. And they'd slow down for a minute and say, what's that? And that's what Jesus is calling us to. And this morning, as we get to Luke chapter 11, I want to give you the main point right up front so we don't miss it, all right? If you're taking notes or you got one of those note sheets, the first fill in the blank is this. Jesus wants to transform your life with his power. And he wants to do that from the inside out. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like. And Jesus gives us, he breaks that down for us. But that's the big idea. If you walk away with nothing else, I want you to hear that. Jesus wants to transform your life. And he wants to do it with his power from the inside out. So Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Again, if you have a Bible, you can follow along. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen. But it says this. Jesus gives us this picture. He says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp, when its rays, gives you light. Now, light is important, isn't it? Any of you ever been around in darkness, you know that light is kind of a big deal. In fact, every time I watch a movie or a TV program or something that's set back before the advent of electricity, I think about, man, how important light is, isn't it? We don't even realize how important it is, but Jesus talked about light all the time. And he used light as a metaphor, as a way of explaining a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality, because it's something that we all understand, isn't it? We've all walked into a dark room, right? You ever get home late at night? Which today is like 4 o'clock when it gets dark, it feels like, thanks to daylight savings in the winter season, right? It's like 4 o'clock, it's pitch black. And you walk into a dark room, we all have an understanding of what that's like, how jarring, but also how dangerous that can kind of be, right? Especially if you got little ones and there's Legos and little cars all around. I just rewatched Home Alone because you're supposed to do that in Christmas. And you see cars and you're flipping on and falling down. And I feel like that. If we walk into a dark room, it can be dangerous. Or many of us, especially as we get more mature, that's the word, as we get more mature, you wake up in the middle of the night and you have to get out of your bed to go to the bathroom, right? And so you wake up and we have an experience of opening our eyes and it being black, right? Like It didn't help any. I opened my eyes and it's still pitch black. So Jesus used this metaphor to help us to understand something, that there's something important about light. Now for us, light isn't a big deal, right? I wake up and it's pitch black. What do? I grab my phone. I have a light on my nightstand, right? Some of y'all got the apps. You can just tell your lights to turn on. Some of you got the clapper and you just clap and your lights come on, right? Anyone have a clapper still? Those are cool technology. I think I saw one at Walmart on the As Seen on TV section. If you want to pick one up as a holiday gift, there you go. But we don't really think about those anymore. We've created all these technologies because darkness can be dangerous, can't it? Which is the reason automakers have our headlights turn on all by themselves. Because no one wants to go driving around in the darkness with no headlights. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? You're going to run into something. You're going to hit a tree, or you're going to hit a child, or you're going to hit something else. Or moreover, someone else is going to hit you because they can't see you. So light is an important thing. Jesus says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so those who enter may see it. See, lights, or lamps in particular, were very precious in Jesus' day. If any of you have seen some of the historical artifacts from that time and that era, you know that many of the lamps of that era were made of clay. And they were filled with olive oil, actually, a version of olive oil. And they had a wick, and the wick would wick up the oil, kind of like some of our liquid candles today would do. But the fuel wasn't very good. And what would happen is that little wick would give off a tiny flickering little flame, kind of like a candle. And it wasn't very bright. It wasn't any of those things. But it was not something that you would take and put over in the corner if you lit it, because A, you'd just be wasting fuel, and B, it wasn't very bright. You're not going to get much. It's like one little candle, putting it over into a corner of your room. You know that it's not going to light up your house. So we don't hide our light. It's like this. I mean, some of you might have seen. It's like sometimes we have these little flashlights, and we always see people. I always see people, and you look at them, and you know, you look at their pocket, and you could tell, hey, dummy, you left your flashlight on. Turn it off, right? Because that's just wasting electricity. It's a waste. There's light, but you don't want to light it in your pocket, so you turn it off before you put it in your pocket, or you pull it out and then you turn it on, and that way you can see where you're going. And this is an amazing little technology thing that we've got flashlights in our pockets all the time. It's kind of cool. But Jesus says, to the point, Luke 11:34, your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your body is full of darkness. See, what Jesus is saying is your eye provides light for the body. What does that mean? When I'm asleep, and by the way, I like a dark room when I sleep. And so, yeah, any other dark rooms? If it's light, I just don't like it. My kids like the night lights and they leave the windows. I don't like that. So I even got one of those masks. You ever seen those masks? And I probably look like a doofus, but man, I love that thing. I put it down and it's black, right? I love it. I can't see any light. And it's amazing when I'm trying to sleep. But if I were to open my eyes with that mask on, it's not going to do any good, right? Even if it's the middle of the day, because the light is blocked. And Jesus is saying is, in that same way, your eyes are kind of like the way that light gets in. That's the way we see visible, reflected light. And there was probably a Greek understanding that the eye literally produced light, but Jesus has given us this parable to help us understand a deeper spiritual truth. See, a good eye produced good light within the body. But if I'm blind or my eyes aren't working properly, then no light gets in. Or maybe it's muddy or fuzzy. Or maybe I don't see anything at all and I just live in the darkness. What does that mean? How does that relate to us? Because I think sometimes we hear that and it's like, that sounds really cool, Jesus, but what are you trying to say? Over and over again, the scriptures replete with this idea of light. And I want to talk about a couple examples of what Jesus talks about light to help us understand what he's getting at here. Because Jesus says, first of all, we need to be filled with the light. Second of all, we need to walk in the light. And third, we need to learn to be the light. And so I want to talk about what that looks like and how we break that down. The first is this: to be transformed by Jesus, we must allow our lives to be filled with light. What are you saying, Pastor? I don't understand it. Let's talk about it. See, we have to allow the word of Jesus to enter into our lives through our eyes, so to speak, and put our trust in him. When I fix my eyes on Jesus, that's when the light of life enters into me. And that's how God begins to transform me. In fact, the scriptures over and over again tell us that when we put our trust and our hope in Jesus, not only are we saved from our sin in our past, but we're given power for today. And that's the Holy Spirit. God gives us his Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about that today. But we are a church that does believe that there is a filling, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to fill you up with his Spirit and equip you for what he's made you to do. That's why it's so important that you and me know what God has made us to do. Because God has a purpose for your life. Sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes we believe the world has a purpose for our life, or your boss has a purpose for your life. I'll tell you, if you're married, your spouse has a purpose for your life, right? Your kids definitely got a purpose for your life. They got something they want you to do. But God has a purpose for your life. He's made you for a purpose and with a purpose. In fact, the Bible declares that before the foundations of the earth were even laid, God knew what good works he created you to do. I don't know about you, but that fills me with hope. That fills me with excitement, knowing that God has made me to do something. I'm not just a pointless existence here on earth. But God fills us, gives us his Holy Spirit to help us to do those things. And we have to make a choice to let the light in. We have to make a choice to let the light in, to open our eyes to see God. And for some of us, we allow God in. We say, Jesus, I'll give you my life. And maybe today that's going to be your decision. You're going to say, Jesus, I want to surrender my life to you. And some of us did that last week. Some of us did that a year ago. Some of us did that 20 years ago or longer. But we make a decision, Jesus, I'm going to open my life to you. I'm going to let the light in. But sometimes, just sometimes, we do this. We open the door to Jesus and we invite him in and he comes into our house. Imagine Jesus walks into the entryway to your home. Go ahead and visualize that entryway to your home. And we invite him in and then we draw a little line right by the front door and we say, all right, Jesus, this is your box. I want you to stay here. Don't you dare go over into my bedroom. Don't you dare go down to where I got my drink and my food stored. I don't want you to talk to those issues. Jesus, don't you dare go to the place where I keep my hobbies. Don't you dare go to the place where my relationships are stored. Jesus, you stay right here, right here. And I believe that we've got to open the door. We've got to let the light shine in. Some of y'all are like my bedroom. I love it. I've got blinders. Right, I've got blackout curtains, and there's no light that gets into my bedroom. But when I wake up in the morning and I want there to be light, I've got to pull back the curtains. I've got to let that light flood in so that I can see. And for many of us, there's rooms in our lives that we've got the blackout curtains on. We've said, Jesus, come in, but not that far. Jesus, come into the entryway or come into the living room. Jesus, I'm even comfortable you going in the kitchen, but don't go into that room because that's the room that's got all my baggage from my past, or that's the room that's got this or that or the other. And I believe the Lord wants to open up and he wants us to let him in. The question is, will you let him in? Will you let the light pour in to your life? See, we have to allow the light of God's word to penetrate every area of our lives. It's not automatic. It doesn't come just by making a decision one time, but it's something that we must allow God's access to shine light into each of those dark corners of our lives. And I think it's important that we do. Here's how I can tell. I'll just give you my diagnostic for my own life, because here's how I can tell when there's areas of my life that I haven't opened to Jesus. They're still kind of sitting in the darkness. And I find myself continually finding these dark corners, these areas that, man, the Lord is reminding me I need to turn over to him. I need to open the door. I need to open the curtains. You use whatever metaphor works. But I've got to open up to God. Here's a couple. For me, number one, I get uncomfortable. I hear a preacher teach about it. I come to God's word and I read about what God says about some area and I start to get uncomfortable. You know what I mean? You know, I love Bill Cosby. He's always talking about, when I was a dentist, if I ever got paralyzed, my bottom would help me move. Some of y'all, you're in church, and man, you're just like squirming. You get uncomfortable. Some of y'all, when you come to God's word, you get uncomfortable. You get a holy, like, uncomfortability. And sometimes I know God's speaking to me when I get a little uncomfortable when I read his word. I'm like, ooh, I don't like what that says. Another thing I do is sometimes I get resistant. Instead of putting my hands in surrender, what do? Put my dukes up, right? Like, no, God, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. I don't want to do that. You don't point at somebody else. It's true. We all do it. We get resistant to God, right? We get resistant. And there's areas that where you feel a little resistant. Another way I know that the Lord is wanting to pull back the curtain in an area of my life is this, is I try and skip over it. You ever do that? You hear someone talking about a verse, you're like, I know that. Heard that. The longer we walk with Jesus, this is more of a temptation. I can come to God's word, which I've read through many, many, many times, cover to cover, and I can come to God's word and be like, oh, read that, skip it. That's not for me. That's for my wife. She needs to read this section. Right? That's not for me. That's for somebody else. That's for that person sitting next to me in church on Sunday. He needs to see that. She needs to see that, but that's not for me. And I know so many often when I want to skip it, when I think it doesn't apply to me, that's when the Lord is saying, does it? Are you sure? The third or the fourth and final way I can kind of tell when the Lord is reminding me of an area I need to open up to him is when I say something or I do something or I think something and I get that, what I call a check of the Spirit, when I know that the Lord is saying, nope. You ever wish, you ever like throw a word out and you realize, ooh, I wish I could pull that back in, right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will convict us internally. We'll know something's wrong. We can call it our conscience. We can call it whatever we want, but the Lord will remind us of things that we know is not right. And when I find myself in one of those four things, that's when I know I've got to immediately stop and say, Lord Jesus, I need your help. Would you shine light in this area of darkness? Would you shine light in this corner of my life that I'm nervous about bringing to you, that I'm uncomfortable that we're even talking about, that I'm worried about, I'm tempted to skip over. God, would you let me just sit in it for a little bit so you can do whatever work you want to do? See, the Bible says we don't fight this battle alone. This isn't just a will of our own exertion. But the Bible declares that God gives us power. Will you say power?
Power.
God gives us power to overcome sin's work in our life. When we say yes to Jesus, the Bible declares that God gives us his Holy Spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians 1 says this, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. See, when you put your hope and trust in Jesus, and that might have been 40 years ago, it might have been last week, it might be today, but when you put your hope and trust in Jesus, God gives you, he seals you with his Holy Spirit. He gives you a portion of his Holy Spirit and helps us to open those doors. Sometimes we feel like, man, I can't get that door open even if I wanted to, God. Well, the truth is, all we have to do is give God permission. He'll open the door. All we got to do is ask God's help and he'll help us to open the doors. In fact, Romans goes so far to say that anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. See, when you put your trust in Jesus, God gives you of his Spirit to help you to overcome temptation and the things that you struggle with. But here's what it boils down to. Will you set your mind on the things of God? Or will you set your mind on the things of the world? Will you open up your life to the things of light and allow God's light to fill and flood your life? Or will you fix your eyes on something else altogether? And that's really the choice. We sometimes try and make it more complicated, but it's a simple binary choice. I can choose to fix my eyes on God, the one who brings light, or I can fix my eyes on something else. And those are our two choices. But where there is light, the dark deeds will find no place. The darkness cannot prevail where there is light. Amen? There's no darkness where there's light. Those two cannot coexist. So to be transformed by Jesus, we have to allow ourselves to be filled with light. Secondly, to be transformed by Jesus, we have to walk in light. We have to walk in light. What does that mean to walk in light? Again, this whole discussion goes through many of the books of the New Testament and even the Old. But there are really two states, dark and light. Now, there are different measure of lights, isn't there? There's bright lights, like the ones that are shining on my face right now that I blind myself to look up to. And then there's smaller lights, like these twinkly lights that are all around our worship center. And they provide some light. If we were to turn off all the house lights, they'd stay on and they'd have a little bit of light. There's an experience that takes place in both, right? We know what it's like to go outside in the full noon sun, how bright that is. We also know maybe what it's like to eat a meal after dark, 4 o'clock, with a candlelight. You ever eaten by candlelight? See, when I was dating, I loved to eat by candlelight. My wife had no idea what she was getting into. She couldn't even see me, right? I looked great by candlelight, so I'd love to take her to candlelit dinners. No turning back now. She's got me. But there's different measures of light, and it's only when we allow God's light to penetrate our hearts that we can begin to walk in the light. Here's what the Bible says. 1 John 1, I shared the scripture last week a little bit as well. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. Say, God is light.
God is light.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It goes on to say in verse 8, but if we say we have no sin, we deceive God. Is that what it says? It says we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So here we're given two options, two choices. Not 100, two. I can choose light or dark. I can choose light or the dark side, right? It sounds like a Star Wars movie, right? Are you going to choose the light or the dark side? But this is not science fiction. This is a fundamental choice that we must make. We can walk in the light, choosing to walk in God's ways and allow his light to permeate and to shape our lives, or we can choose another path. But those are our options. So how do we do that? Again, the scripture in itself gives us steps on how we walk in the light. The first thing we've got to do, A, is we've got to walk in community. It says in the scripture, if we have fellowship with one another. See, there's something important about us walking in a group, about us sticking together with brothers and sisters that can encourage us, that can even correct us, that can rub up against us. The scripture says, it's one of my favorite proverbs, Proverbs 28:18 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And there's something important that happens as we rub up against brother and sister, as we sharpen each other in the things of faith and the things of God. See, we're made to do this journey of faith with other people. So it says we have fellowship with one another. The second thing we got to do to walk in the light is we got to get honest with God. We got to get honest. Stop trying to pretend like our stuff don't stink, and stop trying to pretend like our lives are perfect, and stop trying to be an Instagram follower of Jesus where we're just presenting to him our best pictures and our best face forward, and instead getting honest with him when we find ourselves reading his word or hearing teaching of his word or even just feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we realize our lives are not in exactly where God wants us. There's a dark corner that needs to be opened to the light. That we don't just say, oh, it's fine. But instead, we get honest. Say, Lord, that's not fine. There's something out of order over there. We got to get honest with him. It says that we can deceive ourselves, but we can't deceive God. See, we've got to allow God to change our mind, to change the way we think, to confess our sins to God, is to say, in essence, God, I've been living over here with this idea, with this thought in my mind, believing that this was right, and as I come to your word, as I learn from you, I realize that I was believing A, and you were believing B. You're saying this is truth, and I thought this was truth. God, I want to speak the same words as you. I want to confess that what you say is sin, I call sin. What you call truth, I call truth. I want to line up my life. And that's the third one. We've got to align our will with God's will. I want to line up my words with your words. So it says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's something important about that, that we've got to line our will up with God's will. That's how we walk in the light. It's not by pretending like, psh, I'm in the light, right? I got no sin. And that's what this scripture speaks to. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But instead, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, we've got to line up our words with God's words. Some of us have an understanding of our legal system. We have an understanding that, man, I can go to court and a judge can give a ruling. And if I don't like his ruling, what do? I appeal to go to a higher court, right? And I go to that higher court, and I don't like their ruling either. I appeal. And then I go to the highest court in the land. What do we call that? The Supreme Court. In this nation, we call that the Supreme Court. And when you go to the Supreme Court, and the judges make a decision, they make a verdict, they make an outcome, what they decide is final. There's no appealing their decision. And as followers of Jesus, there's a lot of opinions. Isn't there? We live in a world filled with it. Just look on Facebook. You'll find every opinion known to man, right? There's all sorts of opinions and thoughts and ideas and moralities and practices and things that are go on. But as followers of Jesus, this book, God's word, is our Supreme Court. This is the book that we look to when we say, Lord Jesus, what you've revealed about your truth, what you've revealed about yourself can be found in the pages of this book. And so we put our trust and our hope in it. And we say, Lord, where I find my life is out of sync with what you've already ruled, what you've already decided, what you've already said is the law of the land, Lord, I say, I want to confess, and I want to line my will up with your will. See, we can deceive ourselves and pretend like we don't know the truth. I didn't know that. I loved to do that as a kid. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, right? Some of your kids say that to you today. I didn't know. We can pretend like we don't know. But the Lord knows. And our job is not to be perfect, but it's to walk with a God who wants to perfect us day by day. We don't have to come perfect to God to find his love. In fact, that's the good news of the gospel. We come to God broken. We come to God sinners and dirty and all messed up. And God loves us and accepts us and receives us by grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's then and only then that he gives us power to overcome that work in our lives. But see, so many people have this wrong view of Christianity, that Christianity is a behavior modification program. That to become a Christian just means that, man, I got to change all my behavior. And I believe the Lord does change our behavior. But the reality is that God wants to change us from the inside out. That's why he never said, go do good works. That's why I'm not starting with that point, and I don't believe Jesus emphasizes that point. But the point first is we got to let the light in. We got to allow God to transform us. We got to allow God to save us, to give us a new life. And out of that new life that he births in us, that's when all that change begins to take place. That's how we begin to walk in the light. And last, what God does in our lives is the third point is this, is to be transformed by Jesus. We must let our light shine. We got to let our light shine. Amen. That's what we're called to do. But that is number three. That's not number one. God doesn't say, go do good works and then I'll love you. God doesn't say, go do good works and then you'll get cleaned. There's many well-intentioned people that believe falsely that that is the truth. That it's not the truth, friends. The word of God declares, over and over again, Jesus reminds us that we are saved not by what we do, but simply by coming to him. So God loves us first. We come to him, we're filled with light. We begin to walk in light and we mess up and we find dark corners and we allow God in and we say, God, come in and shine a light in that dark area of my life. Would you change that attitude? Would you go into that room with all my baggage and would you shine light into the dark corners? And God, in my bedroom, in those areas of my sexuality, would you shine a light in that area? God, in my bank vault where I keep all my money, where there's darkness, God, would you shine light and do what you want to do there? God, in every area of my life, and the way I speak to my wife, the way I speak to my children, the way I speak to other people, God, would you shine a light in those areas? And I begin walking in the light, and then, and only then, does that light start to creep out. Then and only then does our light begin to shine. See, Jesus wants to transform your life with his power, and it begins on the inside and works its way on the outside. Our response to Jesus determines our spiritual outcome. See, Jesus and his words are light to us. They're light to all who hear. And Luke taught that we must respond with good eyes, with true faith and obedience. See, it's our responsibility to rid ourselves of any possible obstruction, to, in that sense, to pull open the curtains of those areas of our lives that are not being penetrated by God's light. It's our job to do those things, but we don't have to do it in our own strength. But Jesus tells us he wants us to allow our light to shine. As many of you know, we've been studying through the Gospel of Luke, which is one of four gospel accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. And Matthew's gospel shares another telling of this similar parable. Matthew 5:14 says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." Why? "So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." See, our time with Jesus is meant to do just that. It's meant to change us. It's meant to transform us. It's meant to do things in our lives and things in our soul that never could have been accomplished just by changing the outside behaviors. See, sometimes we think, man, if I'll do good works for God, then he'll love me. But that's not what this says. It's not what Jesus taught. See, God does want our lives to make a bright and shining difference in our world. He wants our lives to shine in such a way that an onlooking world will drive by the house of our life and stop and say, "Wow, look at that one. Wow, look at what's going on there. There's something cool happening." But unlike the light shows that we fabricate and put up in our lives, we can fake it and just put up lights and spend money and throw lights out on the porch. God wants our lights to shine in such a way that will transform this world. See, I believe our world needs to see followers of Jesus that look like that. Men and women of faith that their lights are shining as they step out into the marketplace, as they step out into their neighborhoods, as they go to school and they go to work and they go to the places that they go to. Our world is longing for a source of light and darkness. And I believe that the Lord wants to do that in us. I believe the world is longing, and God is just waiting for men and women like you and me that will say, "God, would you let your light shine in me? And would you let me walk in the light? And would you let my light shine where I live?" See, I believe that when that takes place, our world is going to look and say, "What's happened to them?" That's my prayer for me, friends. I want my neighbors to think, "Man, what's happened to him? He was a cool guy, but now there's something different about him. There's something, the way he lives his life, that's better." I want my children to see me be changed by Jesus. They've known me all their lives, and I want them to see me growing in my faith and shining brighter each and every day. I want my wife to see that. She notices it the most. I want her to see me changed by Jesus. And that can only happen if I'll allow God to shine in me and I'll walk in the light. So what would happen if we allowed ourselves to be filled with the light, chose to walk in the light, and allowed God's transforming power and love to bleed out of us? I believe we change the world. Just as Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, I believe there's no greater message to an unbelieving world than to see this one Christian letting their light shine, loving without reservation, serving their neighborhood and doing those things for others and serving the poor and helping the sick and doing the things that we do just out of love and grace and generosity with no agenda, no strings attached. But if we would live out our lives and let our light shine, I believe our world would take notice. I believe we'd change the world. And as Jesus said, we'd let our light shine so that others might see our good works and give glory to our Father who's in heaven. Church, would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? We're going to respond to the Lord. I want to pray over you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day that you've made. God, that you are in the house today. And Lord, we thank you that you want to transform us with your power from the inside out. God, where we've gotten that twisted and we've tried to please you by our actions instead of realizing you're pleased with us. God, where we've been motivated by trying to please you instead of being motivated by your love for us. God, we repent. We want to change our minds. Lord, if there's areas of our hearts that we've not allowed you in for one reason or another, we've had the curtain closed, we've had the door bolted and locked. We've said, God, you can come into this part of my life, but not to that. Whatever that may be, whether that's our relationships or any other thing, God, we pray that you'd help us. You'd give us strength to open the door for you, Jesus, to invite you into that corner of our lives. We don't want to have compartments. Lord, if we've been closed off and issues have made us uncomfortable or things have made us resistant or we felt we'd rather just skip over those things, God, right now we pray for your power. Lord, as your light shines, may it shine into those dark places in our souls. And God, as we surrender those things, we ask for your strength to help us walk in light, to walk in the way you've called us to. God's given you his Holy Spirit. If you've already put your trust in Jesus, he's given you his Spirit. Father, we ask for your help. Lord, in those areas where we're struggling, those areas where we need breakthrough, those areas where we need transformation, we believe by faith that only you can bring transformation. We can't fake it till we make it. We need your power. And so now, Lord Jesus, we ask for your power. We ask you to bring light to those dark areas of our lives. If there's breakthrough that needs to take place, Lord Jesus, give us wisdom on what to do. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you want to help us transform, that you want to help us heal, that you want to help us to break through areas where we're stuck. We love you, Father. We thank you for your grace. Finally, with every head bowed and every eye still closed in this house, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made a commitment to put your trust in Jesus. You've never received the free gift of God, which is salvation through faith alone. I believe some of you might be here and need to take that very first step of faith. Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing with someone here about it. And so in just a moment, I want to be just that point of agreement. I want to agree with you and pray over you. I'm not going to call you down front or do anything strange. But if that's you, you say, I want to say yes to Jesus today. If that's you, you say, God, I need forgiveness for my past. I need power for my today and eternal life for my future. With every head bowed and eye closed, would you just lift up your hand? Let our eyes meet so I can agree with you in prayer. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else, you say, that's me. I need to receive the Lord Jesus today. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you for coming to the earth for me. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to forgive my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your power. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning, church?